Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's a lot going on relative to the economy. Progressives are saying Pelosi and the president on the eviction moratorium. Asia's economic recovery has stalled. Retailers are taking steps to follow shifting guidances on masks. The governor will have a press conference at 2:30 this afternoon. We will carry that live. All of this having an impact not only on our local economy, but the national economy as well. And here to talk to us about those issues and others, Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, joins us. Guy, welcome back to the show.
No, good to be back with you.
So, Guy, there's a lot of moving targets right now. Obviously, we've got the trillion-dollar infrastructure bill, a lot of push and pull on this eviction moratorium. The courts have kind of ruled on that. It looks like that may fall by the wayside. Obviously, our unemployment, federal unemployment, we're no longer involved in that here at the state level. Your thoughts?
Well, a lot of things going on right now. Let's start with the eviction moratorium. That expired, and we've got a little bit of showboating going on in D.C. We've got some people sleeping out on the steps. It's not going to be effective because the House is in recess right now, and the people that are needed to vote on an eviction, a continuation of a moratorium, aren't in D.C. anymore. So it's more of a photo op. But the other thing that really is depressing is Congress passed rental relief, and only 20% of the money has been distributed. So rather than distributing and using the money they've already approved, they're complaining and saying we need to extend the moratorium, which hurts landlords and ultimately really affects people's credit and causes a lot of problems. So it's distressing to me that instead of actually spending the money they've allocated and pressuring the states, including ours, to do a better job of using the rental assistance, we're asking for a new bill. Now, Biden is correct in that the Supreme Court ruled that he doesn't have the legal authority to do an eviction moratorium, so it has to be a bill. There aren't the votes to pass a bill, but most embarrassing, the money is there to help the tenants and landlords, and they just didn't spend it.
But not unlike a lot of the other programs you and I have talked about, local government is not really in the business of dealing with this rent relief or other similarly situated programs like this. And so, you know, the lead-in and the time that it takes to develop that infrastructure in order to do it it has been frustrating. But this is not what they typically do. It was the same situation that we saw with unemployment, right? With the unemployment offices across the country having difficulty weaving this federal benefit into what they do, because it's kind of contrary to how they do things day in and day out.
Well, you're exactly right. And look, no disrespect to the government employees, but they're typically not an entrepreneurial, risk-taking workforce. Yeah. And the reason is, there is no reward if you're in the bureaucracy for taking a risk. Because I have friends who work for the government. And one of them told me very clearly, he said, Guy, it's a different world. You have things that you need to do, but there are certain things that you just can't innovate. And the thing that was most intriguing, he said, he got to a Friday morning. He said, you know, I have nothing, I've finished everything I need to do. Is there anyone in the office who needs any help? Nobody needs any help. Is there anything we need to do for next week? No. Can I leave? Absolutely not. You'll lose your job. I said, well, but there's nothing for me to do right now. He said, it doesn't matter. That's the one thing that will cause you to lose your job. I said, so I can sit here and read the sports section and that's okay. I said, perfectly fine. So you're asking a workforce that has been rule bound to innovate, and it is a bit of a challenge, but it is unfortunate. I think we should pressure them a little harder and say, guys, we do need you now to make this. We're setting some deadlines and we're pushing to get things done because, as I say, the money is available and only 20% of it has been spent.
And it just seems to me it is a lot of showmanship, I think, as well. When we go in, Congress goes in, passes all of these bills, throw this money out there in kind of a catch-as-catch-can way without an actual infrastructure to distribute it, creates an expectation of the recipients, the landlords, and the renters, and then everybody's completely frustrated because there's no way to distribute the money. I mean, local government does not – we are collectors, right? Fines,
yep.
Fees, taxes – We're not distributors of money. when we do, it's kind of very small pieces and parts, right?
Well, and the other challenge is the pressure is distribute the money quickly, and then if you make a mistake, you know, you're held accountable, there are hearings and lots of problems. I'll never forget during the recovery from Hurricane Katrina, I was going to Washington to meet with ABA officials, and somehow we got meetings with the Treasury scheduled. And I called the governor's office, said, Governor Blanco, is there anything that you want? And she said, if you could get them to just give us half of what they've promised, but just send a check with no strings, we'll take that deal. I said, are you really serious? And he said, I said, absolutely. Just send the check. They've talked about big numbers, but just send the check right now. Let us use it. We'll be responsible. I said, I'll make the offer. And I did. And, of course, they rejected it. And I said, well, who represents the taxpayers here? The state of Louisiana is willing to take a 50% discount if you just write us a check. Is it? No, we can't do that. It's a Stafford Act. We have. And that's why we're still spending Katrina money today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, as you say, it's just not designed to work efficiently.
Yeah. So, you know, when we think about this impact on our economy, obviously, if they were to increase this eviction moratorium, I mean, that just kind of that exacerbates the problem in more ways than one, in my view.
Well, it really does. And I've been talking to landlords, big landlords in Jefferson and Orleans, and they said they are really not buried with a lot of people who are behind in their rent. I mean, there are some, and you know, certainly there's some people that have real struggles, but said they're not seeing the numbers that are being talked about elsewhere. So I don't think we're going to see a tremendous surge of people that are out on the streets, and also hope and would encourage the local governments. Look, this is the time. I mean, the moratorium's expired. Now you really need to get quickly to rental aid for people that need it, because we have the money to solve the crisis. We just need to have the willpower and the energy to do it.
Yeah. But it does require both the landlord and the tenant to get proactive. A lot of them are sitting back as though they're going to come and find you, but that's not going to happen.
Right. And either the landlord can apply or the tenant can apply. And it's really not a badly designed program. If you apply as a landlord and you get paid, you have to waive the late fees. You have to agree not to throw people out unless they just are violating safety rules. But it's a good program if people would get focused on it and actually do it. So once again, I'd encourage our local governments. The five big parishes are doing it themselves. State of Louisiana is doing it for everybody else under LHC. And of course, LHC, unfortunately, is going through a transition. The executive director's out, so they're not as focused as they could be.
Yeah. So also, we end with the federal portion of unemployment as a result of an agreement between the governor and the state legislature of increasing the state benefit and coming off of this. What do you see happening there? I know the governor's got a press conference at 2:30 this afternoon. Not sure. I guess it's going to be completely dealing with the Delta variant. Not sure whether or not it's going to be a retreat off of any of these other issues.
Probably not. But, I mean, my hat's off to the governor on this one, because what he did is he traded a one-month change in the extended unemployment for a permanent change and an increase in what was a really very low unemployment benefit for our state. So I thought it was a nice gain for the workers. I thought it was a nice political compromise, and really sort of glad he did it. One of the things that happened is we have a tremendous number of folks looking, not looking for work, and a tremendous number of jobs available. I think I told you I was out west riding motorcycles. I was in little bitty towns in Nevada, in Utah, and we were seeing things like a little hotel in Elko. Everyone is short of labor. Mark your order on the piece of paper and hand it to the cook in the kitchen. No waitress.
No waitress.
This is a little bitty town. Just so you had to write your order. And then if you had special orders like, you know, no mayo or, you know, whatever, you write that down, hope that the chef's going to do it, and you hand it to the chef through the window in the kitchen, and then it gets delivered to the window and you go get your food. And of course, there were hiring signs everywhere. We're hiring. We're looking for work. And that was pretty much everywhere we went. We saw, you know, help wanted ads. So there are a lot of jobs available. I think we will see whether or not the extended unemployment was the holdback. I'm a little bit nervous that maybe the nervousness about COVID is also a big part of the holdback and another reason that people aren't going to work. But we're going to see that within the next 30 days because, as I say, the unemployment benefits are ending. And now we'll see if people do indeed want to go back to work or if that was keeping them from working.
And, you know, timing being everything, unfortunately, we may not truly know, because this Delta variant is presenting challenges that the UK variant, the South African variant, and other variants really didn't present.
Well, it does. And I talked to one of the doctors at a clinic that I'm involved with, and he said, we're now at the situation that this is going to be like chickenpox. Everybody's going to get it. Now, if you've been vaccinated, you may not even know you got it. It'll be a pretty trivial effect, although, you know, a few people will have problems. But he said the vaccinated people will mostly be okay. The unvaccinated, it's, you know, they're going to have the effects of the disease. But he said it is more spreadable, and there's just no way to stop it. You know, we tried masks before. That didn't work. Social distancing didn't work. And, I mean, some of the things we're doing just don't pass the reason test. I mean, we flew to Las Vegas on Southwest. Very nice flight, 100% full. So we're all wearing the mask, and that was great, except then they gave everybody a drink and a snack. So everybody on the plane took their mask and off and ate the drink and the snack, sitting shoulder to shoulder. So, you know, if somebody had the Delta variant, they definitely spread it to all of us, you know, while we're all drinking and eating. So I think we now need to realize this is going to be endemic instead of pandemic. And, you know, the people that aren't vaccinated are at risk. And, you know, the people that are vaccinated have a very small risk. But it's just going to have to play itself out like chickenpox did when we were little kids.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Last Thursday, the White House issued a statement blaming the Supreme Court for the eviction moratorium's end and urged Congress to extend it. House Speaker Pelosi tried to rush an extension through the House, which failed. She could not get enough Democrats to vote for that bill in order to extend. Guy, we have Dan on the line, has a couple of questions for you. Dan, you're on with Guy Williams.
Guy, this morning you said that the government is paying us landlords. Is that separate from the stuff I'm supposed to be getting from Jefferson Parish?
If you're in Jefferson, you apply directly to Jefferson Parish. So, yeah, you have a landlord program for the five biggest parishes in Louisiana. They're all run by the parish housing agency. So if you're already in touch with the Jefferson Housing Agency, that's where the money is. It's landlord assistance. But they got the money from the federal government.
Okay, but they did not paying too good right now because I still haven't gotten anything. And I was told that they had fired the first people that were supposed to be distributing the funds to the landlords and tenants, but they had to change. But the new one they got, they claim, is a real go-getter and really bad. So I guess it's what Norm said before, that they aren't used to paying out, just collecting.
They really aren't, and the first group was a mess. They literally charged more in fees than they distributed in rental assistance. So yeah. They needed to be fired.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Dan. Thank you, Dan. So, Guy, let's pivot real quick and talk about the restaurant grant program. Obviously, local reports, people are pointing to how much money certain restaurant groups were able to get their hands on. And I kind of thought a lot of the messaging around that was unfair because they have to prove losses in order to qualify for this, right?
They do, and they have to prove need. And look, the big restaurants lost a tremendous amount of money. I mean, one of the name brand restaurants was Antoine's, but Antoine's in the height of the COVID shutdowns was doing no business. And normally, their real money is not made with people walking in the door and eating at a four top. It's having a banquet for 200 or 300 or 400 people with wine and drinks and, the wonderful baked Alaska dessert. They weren't doing any of that for a long time. What's intriguing is the SBA got sued, and rightfully so, because they were discriminating against a lot of folks. And then they turned around and they ignored their own guidelines. And while I agree that Antoine's deserved the money, I don't think that Rick's Cabaret is a restaurant.
Yeah,
but they got $5 million.
They may serve food there. I'm not sure. So where do we stand? There were a lot of folks asking Congress to appropriate more money in this program. I haven't seen where that move, that anyone took any action on that.
They have not, and in fact, the opposite is happening right now. The way Congress works is really, makes a sausage plant look wonderful. The new infrastructure bill at $550, if you're a counting on the Republican side, 1.1 if you're counting on the Democratic side, is paid for by sweeping a lot of the different fund balances that were left over. So they're taking money from SBA programs, they're taking unspent money from other programs, they're projecting some additional collections from IRS. So it's sort of like the days of the fund sweep. You remember those under Bobby Jindal, where agencies that had been thrifty and saved some money got all swept up into government spending. Well, a lot of what's going on now in the infrastructure pay-fors is sweeping up extra cash. So instead of extending the restaurant relief and giving them more money, they're actually going to take any money that's left over. And one of the things that's left over, unfortunately, is shuttered venue because I never used all of it. But some of that money is now going to disappear and go into infrastructure if it passes. And that's a whole different kettle of fish because the Senate has the votes. The House does not. And right now there's a big battle going on in the House. Nancy Pelosi has a very thin majority, only three people. And AOC and her group is, depending on how you count it, either five or six. And they've said they're not going to support that. So conceivably, all this effort has been to get a Senate vote yes and a House vote no, which is really going to be unfortunate. But it'll still leave SBA and restaurant relief out in the cold because there haven't been any moves to refund that, even though it's a good program and should be added to.
Do you think that there's a possibility of lynching as we enter this, you know, difficult times relative to the Delta variant? I mean, here we are, a number of states issuing mandates. I'm not sure what's going to happen today with Governor John Bel Edwards at 2:30. The mayor has issued a mask mandate and mandatory vaccinations for city employees. You know, I think Cynthia Lee Shang said it well. She was, she said she was naive enough to believe that the vaccines were going to bring us to the light at the end of the tunnel. And obviously that has not necessarily happened.
Well, and I'm in her camp. I thought so, too.
There with her, too, so I can't.
I really thought we were done. I got my vaccine as soon as I could. Everybody in my family did. But I have good friends who are smart, capable people who won't get the vaccine. And they have different reasons, but, you know, son of a gun, at a certain point, we need to let people take some responsibility. I don't know that I want to go to a mandate of you must do that in order to work here. I don't think we're going to do that at work like the mayor did. But, you know, some employers are doing it. But Ochsner hadn't gotten all their people vaccinated. So, you know, if a clinic where they're doing healthcare stuff can't get there, it's hard to expect everybody else to. And I don't know if the city is going to be that successful. City already has a shortage of policemen, a shortage of firemen. You know, this may be one more impediment to getting people on the payroll.
Yeah, it's certainly a perfect storm, is it not? I mean, you know, just on so many different fronts. I was just looking at the most recent numbers. I think we're above 2,000 hospitalizations now in the state of Louisiana for COVID, which is we're posting some of the worst numbers that we've had since the beginning.
Yeah, and a lot of the physicians think that we'll have a relatively short fourth wave because it's very infectious, so it sweeps through pretty fast. I hope they're right. If that's the case in, you know, a month or so, the people that didn't get vaccinated and got exposed, which is most of them, will have it and hopefully have recovered. Yeah. But it is a mess. And no, your point in Washington, the president has hung on to pretty high approval ratings, although they've started to drop lately. And his highest approval rating is in his handling of COVID-19. Well, the confusion about do you need to wear a mask, do you not need to wear a mask, and then his friends aren't helping. The mayor of D.C. put in a mask mandate and then appeared at a party indoors after the mandate not wearing a mask. It really makes people confused. It's like, do you believe that this is important? It's not the hypocrisy. It's the question of, well, if this is really important from health and you're not doing it, then maybe you're not telling me the truth. And that's what that cynicism is really dangerous politically, and that could make a big difference in how people approach things going forward.
Rules for thee, but not for me. We saw what happened with Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, and he's in a tight race. He may get recalled.
Yeah. Well, you know it's gone in the wrong direction when this is now being referred to by Democrats as a right-wing conspiracy. So you know the polling is not going well there when they start reaching for that.
No, you're right, and they're trying to bring Trump into it, who has nothing to do with the California recall. I mean, he'd like to be involved, but he's not, and I think it's more the frustration. I mean, when you get out to California and you see the increased homelessness, you see the shops that are closing, you see the open shoplifting, and the employers that are having a hard time getting people to come back to California because employees said, you know, I've been working in Nevada or Utah or Texas, and I just don't want to come back. I don't want to pay the taxes.
Yeah.
So he may be in trouble.
Let's talk for a moment about this infrastructure bill. I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot. They got some bipartisan support for it. I understand they finished providing legislative text yesterday afternoon, if my memory serves me correct. That has not been released, to the best of my knowledge, yet. Where do you see this headed? Because some of the provisions that Republicans have hung their hat on as to what's going to fund this, it seems pretty shaky to me.
Well, and it's shaky on both sides. They have a rule called PAYGO, where unless you're using reconciliation, you have to pay for things as you go along. Now, Congress ignores this, and they wink and blink. The best example was the federal student loan program was going to be a profit maker for the government, and it would enable them to spend more money elsewhere. Well, the federal student loan program is probably a $1 trillion loser for the federal government, but the budget office scored it as a winner and enabled them to spend other money. So I would say a third of the pay-fors are probably in that category of just imaginary pay-fors. The bill probably makes a fair amount of sense. The difference between the $550 that the Republicans talk about and the $1.1 that the Democrats talk about is the $1.1 is above the includes the baseline that was already baked in for the next 8 years. The $550 is the addition.
Right.
So does it come through? We need some infrastructure. I mean, Louisiana, we know we've got some bridges we need to replace. We certainly need to build a new one in Baton Rouge. Senator Cassidy was well involved in negotiating this and did a good job bringing some other people along. So the bill makes sense. It makes a lot more sense than some of the things the government spends money on. So hopefully they'll get it done.
We will soon see. We'll be right back. We'll go to the talk lines. I think we have Hank and Rodney up with Guy Williams when we return. Stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We were just talking about the infrastructure bill. Let's go to the talk lines. We have Gregory. Gregory, you're on with Guy Williams.
Yes. How you doing? Good afternoon, Newell and Guy.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure can.
Okay. First, I'd like to say thank you for having me on, and I appreciate you, Newell, for bringing Guy on to actually talk about this issue. My issue is regarding the rental assistance program. I actually am a small landlord from the standpoint of I only have a few properties, but I depend on that income. And I have one of my tenants that is basically more than a year behind on rent. They applied for the rental assistance back in March, and they don't have any confirmation through the Office of Community Development. I understand the program was originally with TCA, and then they moved it to the Office of Community Development, and Hanno is actually a fiduciary for it. But what does someone like me do when you can't get any information on where they are in the process, where they're, you know, I'm not trying to skip ahead of line. I'm just trying to find out where they are and if I can actually reasonably count on this assistance to actually help.
Yeah. Which parish are you in?
Orleans.
Okay. So Orleans is running its own program, and what you can actually apply as the landlord, even if your tenant applied, you can apply on their behalf. So I would go to the Orleans Housing website and apply on their behalf. And if you don't get a response reasonably soon, within a week, talk to your councilman, because this is something that that it sort of ignites the bureaucracy when they actually get calls. But that's a reason they're elected to represent us. But the city has the money.
And okay, I would
you deserve an answer, and as a landlord, you also deserve to be paid. You shouldn't have. You've been providing a place to live for a year with nothing, and that's not fair.
To add that they had an article out. They talked about how the city spent $23 million, and they were hoping to get additional money and that type of thing. You follow me?
Yeah, the city has not spent all their housing, all their rental assistance money. So you need to push them. You can apply as the landlord, and you can also apply a little bit of political pressure. And I think you're entitled to, because, I mean, this is your money. You paid for it in taxes, so it needs to come back. It was designed to help you for just this occasion.
I will follow your advice, and I hope that other people can actually benefit from it as well. Thank you very much,
both Newell
and Guy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory, for the call. Best of luck to you on that. I mean, that's a lot to ask for, a year without income. I mean, you know, and he still has the expense side of that balance sheet going on the whole time, right?
Oh, exactly. He's got to pay his taxes and maintain the property.
Yeah. And, you know, so it is an issue. Let's go to Darren. Darren, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, Guy. Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me. I wanted to switch gears a little bit. I heard y'all talking, and I'm a homeowner, and I was sent a letter right during the beginning of the pandemic that they were going to, you know, take 3 months away, give a hiatus, suspended, you know, if I wanted it. I took the opportunity because they had shut me down in March. I work out at the French Market.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got a letter. That they sent to the courts about taking my house because of that.
Okay.
I'm wondering what, I mean, and also my neighbor, it's happening to him too. Exact same thing. They gave him the 3 month hiatus, suspension, whatever you might want to call it. And they're trying to take his house too. I don't have money for lawyers anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I haven't really hardly worked in a year and a half. There is no money to be made in the tourist industry right now. And I need to know if there's anything that can be done about this, or if there's any help out there, or if anybody's even heard about it.
Have you been making your payments after the first 3 months?
Yes, sir. And I'm actually paying extra every month, you know, just because I had extra. You know, not a whole lot. Sometimes it was only $50, but it was something.
Yeah. What was supposed to happen is that 3 months would be tacked on to the end, and you just owe your normal monthly payment. So there are a couple of avenues you have. One is there are two agencies that you want to contact to act on your behalf. One is the Office of Financial Institutions. That's in Baton Rouge. That's a state agency. And tell them just what you said to me, which is, look, I got a statement that I was deferred for 3 months. I took advantage of it. I've been making my payments since then, and those payments should be added to the end. They shouldn't cause a delinquency now. The other is a federal agency, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, in Washington. Write to both of those people and then send a copy of those letters to whoever the attorney is that's suing you and saying, look, this isn't right. We're not, you know, I'm not past due. I took advantage of a deferment, and I'm not going to roll over and play dead on this. But, you know, you've done the right thing. If you're making the payments plus even a little more, you're doing exactly what you should have done. But there are two agencies that you can write to, one in the state, one in Washington. Both of them have online applications, so you don't even have to go through the mail and get this started. But I'd do it as quickly as possible because you don't want them to start racking up court fees on you.
Yeah, well, also, monthly, the money that I'm paying, there's fees and everything else that's included. So the money that I'm paying, is not all of it's going towards the house. It's going to late fees and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be having any late fees right now because you're not late. They gave you 3 months and you took it. That doesn't make you late.
Yeah, you need to jump on that right away, as Guy just pointed out, because the sooner the better, and have somebody opine one way or the other, on that issue. We'll be right back with Guy Williams' final thoughts when we return. Stay with us. We are back with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Fraud update, Guy.
Good. And, Newell, before I jump into that, if the caller that called about the potential foreclosure is still on the line, I also forgot to mention the Louisiana State Bar Association has free legal aid to people that have civil disputes and can't afford an attorney. So I'd look at Louisiana State Bar Association, too, in addition to the other ideas we gave him. All right, so moving on to fraud. We had an interesting one. Dinesh Suh in Texas, got $24.8 million and decided to live large. He got a Bentley convertible, a Corvette, a Porsche, 5 other cars, 8 houses. And unsurprisingly, with this much flashy spending, he was caught and is they've repossessed the cars. They're foreclosing on the houses, and he's going to have to repay his money. It's really just a totally imaginary business. He was doing a business with no employees and created completely fictitious records and got $24.8 million.
It must have been the other one, that bank, right?
Yep. Oh, it was. Most of these are the fintechs.
Yeah.
The other one is a guy named Ad Sharma, and he's from Maple Grove, Minnesota. And Ad had a problem. He'd had some legal troubles and had a lot of legal debt. And so he figured the best way to repay that was to do a fraudulent PPP application for $9.6 million. And the game plan was simple. Repay his legal debt, and then use the balance of the money to start a new internet company. So that was his game plan. Didn't quite work out, but did get $9.6 million before he was caught, started 3 new tech companies, and repaid his legal debt. But now he's got a new set of legal debts.
Thought the government was a venture capital firm, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. They were his investor.
Absolutely. Guy, as always, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We truly appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Oh, happy to do it. Good to talk to you.
All righty, folks. We have Scoot joining us. He's up next. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
All right. We'll talk about the shootings over the weekend. How can you avoid it? And we'll also talk about the number of vaccinated people, which seems to be increasing. And also, we've got the governor at 2:30 this afternoon, so it's going to be interesting to see what he has to say, and we'll be on right after to talk about what he had to say.
It was a rough weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, it was really rough. And I was on Bourbon Street 30 minutes before the shooting.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
look
seriously.
Forward to hearing from you. And he's got a great lineup, folks. Stay tuned. We'll see you again tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.